Good morning, Trinity.
Good morning.
We welcome each of you here this morning, and there's a couple of cards in front of you. If you would be so kind as to fill those out, they'll be collected at the time of offering. And today we're going to be making a new change in our worship setting. We're going to worship setting number 2. And if you'd like to follow along with one of the songs, this is the feast that's going to be happening a little later. It's on page 171. Our choir will actually sing it first. You can listen, watch the music in the hymnal on page 171, and then follow along. If you'd like to turn to setting 2, it's on page 167. If you want to follow along either on the screen or on page 167, you can follow along with your hymnal. God's richest blessing, then, if you could stand and welcome one another at this time. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us now confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your and mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his own mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and their praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. At this time, I would ask you to turn your hymnals to page 171. That is page 171. As you see, this is the feast. Please listen as our choir, the first time through, will sing it. We will join them by singing it a second time. Once again, follow along on page 171.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. O Lord, keep your family at the church continually in the true faith, that relying on the hope of your heavenly grace, we may ever be defended by your mighty power, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading today, on the fifth Sunday after the Epiphany, is from the Old Testament, book Isaiah, chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." And he said, "Go and say it to the people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of his people dull, and their ears heavy, and their blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn to be healed." Then I said, "How long, O Lord?" And he said, "Until cities lie waste without inhabitant, and houses without people, and the land is a desolate waste, and the Lord removes people far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And though a tenth remain in it, it will be burned again, like a terebinth, or whose stump remains when it is felled. The holy seed is in the stump." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from 1 Corinthians chapter 14. "Since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with you, my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he does not know what you were saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I'd rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Brothers, do not be children in your thinking. Be infants in evil, but in your thinking be mature. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel for this day is recorded in the book of St. Luke, the fifth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
This text will serve as the basis for today's sermon. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to them, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and to help them. And they filled the boats so much so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to the land, they left everything and they followed Jesus. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Wanted to make sure that didn't fall off. We make our beginning this day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as we hear about Luke 5, 1 to 11. Pew Bibles are in front of you, and we'd also invite you simply to follow up on the screen. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. The crowd kept coming. You can just imagine a crowd pushing Jesus further and further back onto the beach and then up from the beach towards the waters simply to hear the word of God. They were coming to hear that life-giving, life-changing message. They eagerly awaited every word that would drop from Jesus' lips. Oh, how they hungered for and appreciated Christ's word. It was given with power and authority, as we heard last week. But did you know, my friends, that you and I have that same message? You and I have a message that changes lives, gives hope, and promises life everlasting. In fact, we have that one and only cure the world ever knows, and has ever been given for the one disease that is common amongst all humanity, and without cure, it will cause to eternal death. The disease that we have is called sin. And without Christ's cure and forgiveness, we, all of us, would be hopelessly lost, condemned and damned. But with Christ, we are promised life. And this is the powerful word that you and I possess, the message that gives hope to those who are disease-ridden and dying, filled with sin like you and me. Without Christ, we would be in the same condition. The word, my friends, is God's power. It is a light unto our salvation and a light unto our lamp, unto our feet. It is that word of God that gives hope and meaning and purpose. It's like God's GPS. No matter where we slip off the road of life, God's GPS will lead us back to the highway to heaven. And God's GPS is the word of God, the Bible. Last week, I invited Julia Malenke, Greg Yauman, Desiree, Tom Finger, and myself to a different lake, Lake Nona. We went and we heard about something at Wycliffe Bible Translators, about a program that they were offering, and invited us to join in with them. It was about how we could come together and crowd together, from our community included, to hear the Word of God. One page, one story, story after another, in 8 short weeks, we could finish the first of 6 books that would lead us throughout the entirety of Scripture. And wouldn't it be neat if we could do that as a whole congregation, the young and the old together, singles and those who are just families, with children and young adults alike, as well as our older people. Wouldn't it be wonderful as a congregation if we could go through hearing that life-giving, life-changing message together, all of us on the same page? And during those 8 short weeks, twice a year, we would go through one book, each of those 8-week sessions. It would be wonderful if we would also hear that same message based on those same stories as a congregation from this pulpit. And to be able to tie together as one people with one plan, hearing the same message daily. And wouldn't it be a wonderful way for us to begin a whole new century? Us tied together around the Word of God, that which brought us together 100 years ago, being that which we start the second century with, saying we want to take this message to our world, to our families, to our friends, and to live out our lives empowered and engaged in this message, yes, immersed in it. And our text says, and Jesus saw 2 boats by the lake, not Lake Nona, but Lake Gennesaret. And the fishermen had gone out, and they'd left their boats, and now were washing their nets, getting ready to basically wrap things up for the day. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, Jesus asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down, and he taught the people from the boat. Serving as a church planter in the past, most of my ministry up to this point was exciting to see what Jesus actually did. He took whatever means were there and available, and he simply looked at it and he saw a boat. He said, that's a pulpit. And he then took the crowds that were gathering around and were coming closer and closer to him, and he simply took charge of the situation and shared the message with the masses. Jesus used a boat. I remember us, as we were starting missions, Desiree and Jaron, you're here. You remember those days? One was in a bank building. Another one was in a storefront. Another one was a rented out high school auditorium. And we remember the days of setting up chairs and tables and the like. I remember preaching from a pulpit, which was really a music stand. And I remember baptizing people with a simple basin that had come out of a kitchen. I remember also looking at a card table as being that which would serve as our altar, with a bed sheet was somehow fitted and formed and made into look like an altar table or an altar cloth. covering and adorning our altar. And from each of these humble beginnings, we too here at Trinity had them. Christ's church emerged. People came, heard the message, were baptized and married and buried, and disciples were made. In each of these efforts, in all of these places, at various times and places. And this is how Jesus brought and started his church. He used whatever means were there around him. My friends, this is what I want you to remember, a lesson from our Lord, to use whatever means that we have to share the gospel of Jesus Christ in the surrounding in which we are in, and to proclaim to the people and to the crowds, to the masses, the message that comes from the Word of God for you to give to them. And when he finished speaking, Jesus said to Simon, "Put out into the waters, the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing. But at your word, I'll let down my nets." My friends, this speaks to me, and I'm pretty sure it speaks to many of you. You've been at it a long, long time. "All night," Peter said. "You've had a 3-year vacancy almost, had a big push for a child development center prior to that. All the dreaming and planning that had to go into it, the hard work of implementing those plans then. You've had some lean years and some difficult days. You were tired like Peter. And like Peter, maybe reluctant to do one more thing, at least for a little while. And you may be saying that at your home or at your workplace. You may be saying to that child, 'I just got home. Do I really need to talk about this right now?' You may be seeing and just looking at all the things that are coming at you and just feeling overwhelmed. But our Lord really says to us, as professionals in the field in which we serve, as a parent, as a member, as a Christian, he simply says, 'Let down your nets. Go out into the deep. One more time, one more effort. Trust me.' But I can also hear Peter and the other disciples. 'But Lord, we've already began to close down for the day. Our nets are being washed right now. You saw it. They'll be ready. We'll be ready for tomorrow. Couldn't we wait till then?' 'There's no hope. We've fished all night. Caught nothing. We're tired. We're discouraged. We're drained and tapped out, having lost all hope, having nothing more to give.'" But I can imagine Jesus' words and his eyes connecting with Peter's, telling him to put out into the deep, and looking at him square in the eyes and saying, "Peter, let down your nets. Let down your nets for a catch. Trust me. Believe in me. Hear my words. Go. Let down your nets." Trinity, I want you to hear Jesus' words, and I hope your eyes are connecting with your Messiah's. Christ's words are to let down our nets, to continue on, to continue doing the basics, to do the things that lead to a church and a church emerging, to do the things that go and to make disciples of people hearing this message. Not to give up, not to be discouraged or wait till tomorrow. I look at you, parents, and Christ's words are true for you. Not to give up, to go on, keep on, to try on. And for those who are challenged in their workplace and their jobs, Jesus says the same. Jesus wants us here at Trinity to invite our friends, our neighbors, coworkers, family members, and friends to come and hear. Don't give up taking the neighborhood Sunday school child or saying that one more prayer for that one more person. Don't give up writing that one more letter as you witness and encourage a friend who is hospitalized or incarcerated. Don't give up being an ambassador of the Lord Jesus Christ, offering forgiveness of Christ's love and to a world that's wrapped up in finding blame and blaming everyone else, someone or something else, for all their problems. Don't give up. You have the remedy. We have the hope. We have the message. We have that which will give life. I encourage you to simply smile and to reach out and to touch as many lives as you daily can as you walk throughout your life daily, helping others to smile and brightening their days through your efforts. Encourage someone by simply giving them a hand up, not a hand out. Peter, a professional fisherman, and his partners knew how to fish, and they knew what to do, and they were about to give up. Jesus didn't want them to go away empty-handed, to give up. He simply told them, let down your nets, go out into the deep, and let down your nets. What happened? At the word of the Lord, Peter says, I will let down my net. And when they had done this, they enclosed such a large number of fish, and their nets were beginning to break. And they brought their partners out and in brought the fish into their boat to come out. And as they did, their boats became so full that they were beginning to sink. The first thing that Peter did was to trust the Lord, to be obedient, to follow his command, to do it again. He said, at your word, Lord, I'll let down my nets. I'll do it again. As you and I hear that the Lord wants us to keep on loving one another, forgiving one another, inviting and encouraging folks, he tells us to go out again, to give it one more try. My friends, I encourage you to go and to explore the waters that are deeper and to invite your friends, your neighbors, and to go with me into this community and into our ministries in each and every way through our CDC and school and to be able to connect with those families. To let down our nets. God promises his word will not return unto him void. Peter's boat was swamped and swarming with fish, so much so that the boat began to sink. Peter called out for help for his fishing partners, James and John. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees. And he said, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish, that they were taken in. And Simon, Jesus said, don't be afraid. From now you will be caught a fisher of men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed Jesus. Christ's miracle here showed these soon-to-be disciples that he was the Messiah, that this great miracle had occurred so that they could see Jesus was the one who could command even the sea to gather up and to give up its catch. Jesus was not some mere teacher or man. He was their Messiah. And their boats that day were left to follow this one named Jesus. God answers prayers in your world and in mine. He brings daily blessings, great catches, you might say, into our lives. And like Peter, I too am so humbled, and I am in awe of Jesus and of his great love for me. I'm moved to confess my sins and also to thank God that he has brought me to such a place that he could use me in such a way. And I hope and I pray that's the same for each of you. I recently heard a young man say, I'm just an acolyte. And I looked and I said, do you realize what those candles lit mean? They signal the presence of God. And they remind all the worshipers who are there that the Lord Jesus is present with us. I'm only an organist or a pianist. But do you realize your music is that which helps people come into the presence of God, worshiping and praising him, and that our praises ascend to the highest thrones and places of heaven and reach God's own ears. I'm a Sunday school teacher, Do you not realize the importance of your work? That Jesus said, permit the little children to come unto me, and to such is the kingdom of God. You not realize that what you are doing is ushering them into the presence of God, teaching them eternal truths. I'm only a mom. I'm only a dad. So tired of changing diapers and raising fussing kids. Do you not realize that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world? Do you not realize that you are shaping tomorrow's leaders? Do you not realize the hope that you're giving for a child to see someone who will love them unconditionally and is an example to them of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will love you and has loved you unconditionally? I'm humbled to be a church leader, some have said. And as they say that, they're understanding and realizing that Jesus is their Savior. And as they come to another meeting and another night's worth of work, they're letting down their nets. They're going out into the deep, and they're coming to serve their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, using their skills and their talents and gifts to have another catch and to help the church. I'm humbled here to be your pastor of this congregation. I'm humbled by the Lord and his call to me, a simple boy from Iowa that gets now to serve Trinity Lutheran Church downtown. Whatever your station, whatever your vocation, whatever your place in this congregation, in this community, or in your life, you are God's servant, chosen specifically by him to serve him and to bring the most precious message to the world that cures the disease of sin. And as Jesus told Peter, James, and John, he said, fear not, for now you will be fishers of men. May we go out into the deep and let down our nets. Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. Please stand. Please join me in our faith. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, the Virgin Mary, and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. O Lord and Savior Jesus, we give you thanks for the many examples you've shown us today of Peter and your early disciples. May you bless us with seeing the great catch and being reminded of the answers to prayer and the blessings that you've brought to each of us in our own personal lives, as well as that which has occurred in the ministry of Trinity Lutheran Church and School. We ask you, Lord Jesus, that like the disciples, that we too would be reminded to be faithful unto you and to continue to let down our nets in our own personal lives, as well as our collective Trinity life. And Lord, may you bless our catch that will be done for your sake, for your name, for your kingdom, for the glory of those who are be caught in that which is a life-giving net of salvation, that we would be reminded of the joy of those angels that are even rejoicing in heaven over such things. Lord, in your mercy. Lord and Savior, we thank you for the work being done by our Congress and senators and our president. May you bring unity and peace and a definitive decision regarding things that are being worked on at this current time around the border issues. May you bring healing and help to protect our nation. And may you allow wisdom of all of our leaders to be able to see that which is your will, that which is given to you and by you to them and for us, for the sake of keeping us safe and protecting, as well as providing for those who are in need. Lord, in your mercy. And now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been requested this day.
Dear loving Father, the congregation humbly comes before you with these following requests. We pray for peace and comfort for the family and friends of Andrew, who unexpectedly passed away. And we lift up Darty, who is suffering from a cold. We pray that it would not deteriorate into anything worse, but that you would place your healing hand upon her for recovery. And we lift up Diana, who is going into surgery tomorrow. And we just pray that you would, through the doctors, the medical staff, that through their training and their skill, that you would minister through them to bring about a successful surgery and recovery for Diana. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
Amen.
Amen.
You may be seated. Lord be with you.
Also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should, at all times and places, give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Remember me when you come into your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had broken it, he gave thanks and he gave it unto his disciples and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body which is given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Likewise, in the same manner, he took the cup and when he blessed it, he gave it unto them, saying, "Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you take this, do it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Take away the sin of the world.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that you would give mercy and strengthen us through the same in faith toward and fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace. May the Lord lift up his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. A couple of announcements. Because they're really not a slide for them for us today, but just to remind you to go back to your weeklies and have those. One of the items I wanted to make you aware of is there are a couple of bake sales and goodies going on today. One is for Rebecca's Garden of Hope. It's hosted by our outreach team, and they're providing a lot of ministry this weekend. To also the dance competition, it's held in our gymnasium. And also for you who are here, to be able to have some goodies and refreshments. Also, our youth are having a bake sale as well and selling some other items. And you have plenty of opportunity to get some of those delicious goodies. So we'd like to make you aware of them. Also, I'd wanted to say that Chanda will be back, God blessing and God willing, tomorrow. And so we thank you for your prayers. And tomorrow, I will be becoming grandpa again, along with Desiree, who will be becoming grandma again, and we'll be having our first ever granddaughter. So we're thankful for that and pray for a healthy baby and keeping mama safe. So God's blessings to you this day. Please stand as we join for our final hymn. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy.